pretenders show success.
Divided we fall.
Divided we fall.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another fabulous edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live from the future from the fluoridated island chain paradise of New Zealand. Very special guest today, ladies and gentlemen. We've had him on the show many times before, and hopefully he won't be assassinated by the New World Order so we can have him on many times again. His name is Gordon Duff. He is the lead editor of Veterans Today. Probably if you had to point a stick at somebody who is running one of the most large and successful alternative media entities, it would probably be Gordon Duff from VeteransToday.com. Gordon, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny, it's good to be on.
That's good. Hey, now, Gordon, I've just opened the lines here. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in and chat with me and Gordon today, the number is 402-237-2525. That's 402-237-2525. Now, Gordon, we've had a few people on the show, and indeed comments have been flying around the web like crazy, that Osama's death was staged. And in my opinion, it's all just to get Obama re-elected, just like 9/11 was staged to get Bush re-elected. Well, and a couple of other little nasty swindle thingies thrown in there as well. I wanted to get your opinion.
Well, I'm one of the longtime proponents of the belief that bin Laden died in 2001. When you're told something so many times by conspiracy freaks, heads of state, his own handlers from the ISI, his own handlers from the CIA, when everybody tells you the guy's dead, you're going to begin taking it seriously. And then looking at the evidence over the last 10 years, he had an interview that the CIA carries a transcript for, which I got through Freedom of Information and put on Veterans Today. The one that this is, I guess, my minor subject change, but everyone talking about bin Laden seems to forget the backdrop of 9/11. And it's certainly my contention, and I believe most of the listening audience, I sure hope it is, that 9/11, at least after people learned about Building 7, how it was mysteriously blown up for some reason, the cover story on 9/11 fell apart. Well, the biggest part of the cover story was this wild conspiracy theory about hijackers and airplanes and Osama bin Laden, who was never charged with a crime. Then all of a sudden, President Obama comes on television and starts running his mouth in the most wild and irresponsible manner about how Osama bin Laden had to be killed because he'd murdered so many Americans. I have as much as anyone on earth, maybe David, David Ray Griffin is an exception, a broad familiarity with the life of Osama bin Laden. I've been around people who know him well, know him personally, who have known his operations, what he's done, who he's worked for, been around these people for decades, and there has never been a shred of solid evidence that Osama bin Laden was ever involved in a terrorist organization of any kind anywhere at all. Have I stuck my foot in it far enough yet?
Well, no, I don't think so. You know what's really strange, Gordon, is that when we hear announcements from the media, I'll actually wait for a moment now before I'll believe them, and I'll see what all the conspiracy sites are talking about and looking at. And, I don't know, maybe I'm turning into some kind of conspiracy zombie where I'll believe any conspiracy theory or whatever, because the mainstream media conspiracy theories make far less sense.
Well, Vinny, one of the areas that we're you know, the I'll be kind and call, you know, call some of us alternative media. Since Veterans Today is the fifth largest newspaper in the United States, we're not a minor conspiracy site. We've got 40 million readers. So we're, you know, we're reasonably mainstream, and frankly, we're becoming a little more mainstream sometimes even than I like. I enjoy conspiracies. They're entertaining. The American people love them. That's why they watch Fox News so much. They get the, if you want wild conspiracy, the mainstream media started delivering it on 9/11 and never stopped. It doesn't get any crazier than the stuff you get.
But this stuff. They're not the entertaining conspiracy theories, though. I mean, the most entertaining ones are the ones that actually have facts and figures and historical context added to them, like we see in the articles from Veterans Today. Their main article that of which I'm referring is Osama has been dead for 10 years and the U.S. government has known about it. When you sent me that via email, what was that, a week and a half ago or something, I posted it on guerrillamedia.co.nz. I'm sorry, I didn't ask your permission, but it got something like 2,500 hits in the first day. So it becomes quite apparent to me anyway that the real alternative media is so much more popular now, at least in the online world, than mainstream media, and I think they're hurting.
Well, Vinny, you and I went through a fair amount of stuff over WikiLeaks. You know, back in August, I pegged WikiLeaks as part of an intelligence operation tied to the mainstream media, and, you know, we'll say that word, Israel, tied to Israel's intelligence services, and that the purpose of WikiLeaks, whatever it appeared to be, was to create a stage for an attack on Iran and help destabilize Pakistan. Whatever WikiLeaks runs toward, they gravitate back toward, yes, the U.S. is bad, they shouldn't have tortured people, and, of course, we should all blow up Iran. Assange has said this so many times. Now, the alternative media split there, and some of us, you know, I began to suspect that some of us were taking a paycheck from that New World Order powers that be group, you know, that we talk about so much, and we have, you know, so much back channel communications between all of the alternative media. We all know each other, and I mean hundreds of people, and we trade huge emails back and forth and scream at each other in all caps on emails all the time. And WikiLeaks very much put it in each other's throat. We are all of us, every single one of us, on the same page with this farcical, phony assassination of the cardboard cutout Osama bin Laden. Now, none of us are at each other's throats. There's no question at all. I have no trouble putting any of our, and they are competitors. This is a, you know, this is a marketplace. I have no trouble featuring anything from anyone else. There are times I don't agree with Alex Jones. He's done an excellent job on the bin Laden farce. Many people have. I haven't seen really bad work on this at all, except for, of course, the mainstream media. This is the worst of all of them, I guess. When you go back to November 21st last year, Fox News, Geraldo Rivera, came on TV and talked about 9/11, how he'd made a mistake, how he learned from Richard Gage and other people and architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth that 9/11 was really a false flag conspiracy and not the World Trade Center was not destroyed by planes and hijackers. Well, watching him the other night when he was waiting for the president to come on, there was no, you know, the first things out of his mouth were 9/11, Osama bin Laden, the mass murderer of all time, and the thousands of Americans he slaughtered. This is the same person, of course, who apologized 6 months before for saying the same idiotic things, admitting it was a mistake.
Well, you know, what strikes me, Gordon, is that the mainstream media can say such idiotic things in total contravention of what they've already said and already admitted. And the worst part about it is not only are the media so dumb that they think that the people will believe it, but the people are so dumb that they do. It's just insane.
Now, Vinny, this is an interesting one here, because interesting, I guess, to me. I spent 2 hours yesterday talking to a broadcaster in Pakistan, and it turned into, there was screaming on the telephone, "Gordon, why are you people in America all so stupid? Why do you believe all of this?" You know, and who says we believe it? Well, I saw in the news, I read your newspapers, and I checked the websites. Whose websites did you check? I went to ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News. But the issue that you and I know is that 80% of Americans go to the alternative media, that's us right now, what we're doing, for their news. Now, the Pakistanis don't have the common sense to listen to you or to read me. And that's what he asked. Did you read any of my articles? I've written 4 or 5 this week. And plus, frankly, I've had other people's on our site, and I've sent people to others who frankly, have done a better job than I have. But I've done the best I can, and the amount of traffic we're getting on these Osama bin Laden stories are pulling our servers down. We're running 4 servers continually. The traffic count on the bin Laden articles, all of which are saying that it was a total staged farce. I mean, this isn't even close. And it's in a place in Pakistan. I've been there. It's somewhere I know reasonably well. Whoever they're talking about, bin Laden, I think I had tea with this guy. But what you had just said, I'm going to disagree with you on this and say that, no, I don't think they are fooling the people. What they'll find are rubes, shills, hangers-on, 50 people that run up and down the street saying, bin Laden's dead, bin Laden's dead. I am not running into anybody that's buying it. Nobody. Everybody's picking up the smell. Everybody gets an email from somebody. Everybody hears from somebody. But the word, finally, that the work you and I have done, and so many others, is getting out there. The problem, of course, when somebody looks at the media, it's like they're waiting all of a sudden that ABC News or the Daily Beast online, which is Newsweek magazine, which is Sidney Hartman, who died recently, which is, of course, the Israeli intelligence agency produces this publication, or Rupert Murdoch of the Likudist parties, Fox News, New York Daily News, his London-based publications, his Wall Street Journal. They're waiting for the people that are known and proven consistent liars to come out and start telling the truth. You might as well wait for the earth to freeze into an ice cube as, well, frankly, as hard as the ice cube that Osama bin Laden spent the last 10 years in.
Well, you know, that was the thing about that interesting Photoshopped image. Maybe you put that on the top of your article, and it came out in The Guardian a days later that it was a fake and it had been circulating the internet for some time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a piece of cake. This bin Laden video that was used had been debunked 4 years ago as one that had been produced by the CIA and Site Intelligence, an Israeli company headed by Rita Katz, contracted by the CIA, paid $500,000 a year to do public relations work for the war on terror. And they have been the source of all the bin Laden tapes, all of the al-Qaeda announcements. And where do they get them? And this, I just love this. They say they find them on the Internet. Well, isn't that where the conspiracy theories come from?
Well, you know, it's a great hotspot breeding ground for debate and information. So naturally, some good stuff and some bad stuff would come out. But what's ironic to me is that somebody will say, "Oh, Vinny, you're just reading all this crazy stuff on the internet. You know, that's not credible. Just watch mainstream media instead." As if there's any shred of credibility left in the mainstream media. I mean, the banker bailout, just for example, the banks took $700 billion worth of the very first bailout, which later revealed to be something like $5 trillion that they stole. And what they did is they funneled billions of dollars into MSNBC and a whole bunch of other mainstream media outlets to pay for propaganda. You know, the whole thing is a total farce. Every single part of our government, every single part of the media, every single part of the health industry, it's all debunked, okay? Basically, we've already won the debate. We're just going through the motions here to wait until humanity realizes it and rises up to say, hey, look, no, I'm sorry, I don't want to be I don't want to be voting for President BS anymore, Barry Satoru.
Well, the axiomatic thing that I think that we could all agree on, and since we both theoretically live in democracies that we know are more than flawed, in the United States, it's my personal belief that the U.S. government was overthrown in 2000 as part of a plot, and since that time, we have not had an elected government. Now, I am not a political enemy of President Barry. I supported his election, and I have supported his domestic programs, which to some extent reined in the bankers and other issues as much as I've been able to. But I'm not going to blindly bend over and take it where the sun don't shine just because he speaks, you know, the progressive word here, and just because he replaced Darth Cheney and gang. That's not enough.
Well, they filled his cabinet with even worse monsters than Bush had. I mean, there used to be people from like pharmaceutical industries, from Wall Street, and from military, but now it's all Wall Street. It's all Council on Foreign Relations. It's all Bilderberg Group members. It's all Israeli dual citizens. You know, it's the most extreme administration that the U.S. has ever had. And, you know, Satoru has spent more money. I think it was recorded that the first year of his presidency, he spent more money than all of the presidents of the United States combined.
Well, my biggest complaint, and one that I share with at least, this is my way of telling who my friends and enemies are, the thing I dislike most about Obama is that his first day in office, he didn't issue an arrest warrant for the entire Bush administration. These are war criminals. There's no question they need to be indicted. And instead, he has worked to put himself in the same category, and by this time, certainly has. And I'm not a peace activist by any means. You know, the Veterans Today is not a peace publication. We're all for blowing people up. We just want to make sure that the right ones. There are enough people out there who need killing. No question about that. The world's full of really bad people, and it's easy to find. Go to Washington, D.C., and New York. And
yeah.
You can find as many
right,
as you want
right.
There. You just shake a stick. You get all you can stand.
That's right. Don't look for a turban. Look for a suit and tie. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest from Veterans Today is Gordon Duff at fromveteranstoday.com. And we'll be right back after the break.
Unity, please don't desert me.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love.
Welcome back.
It's because it's when everything is just right.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
On TV.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And welcome also to everybody who visits TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com and GorillaMedia.co.nz or .co.nz. New Zealand's unconventional news. My very special guest today is Gordon Duff, and we have him graciously for the whole 2 hours of the show. And we want some very, very intense information to be getting out to the public as quickly as humanly possible about this Osama assassination fraud. Now, the fact that Obama is going to get re-elected, and this is just my theory, of course, the fact that Obama is going to get re-elected because of this one incident Something tells me that he may be the last president of the United States, and instead it'll wind up being the former USSA. What do you think?
Benny.
Yeah.
Couple things here. You know, I've had a bunch of stuff coming in this week from, you know, I do as much sucking up the intelligence community as possible. And, you know, rigging the presidential election, it was pretty easy basically building Donald Trump up into a what seemed like a viable candidate based on the birtherism and then real birth certificate or not, but using this to just rip him to shreds. I won't say it was genius, but it was close to genius. And then, of course, the birth certificate that came out looked so hokey that I think that Obama's looking for a twofer on this birth certificate release. He might be planning to release not just the real long form, but the real long form later.
Well, they all seem to have other different plans and agendas all tying in simultaneously, as far as I see. Like, at the same time as providing enough of a big boost to polling numbers, which are all fake anyway, Obama can get reelected just off of this boost alone, in my opinion. And also with the electronic voting machines, which have the ability to be rigged without anybody knowing, unless, of course, they are able to recount all the paper ballots. But thanks to the explosion of electronic voting machines, there aren't enough paper ballots anymore anyway, and they're all just electronically manipulated. And this was revealed in congressional hearings that the voter machines can have viruses put into them that will flip the vote 49-51, and whoever you want to win will win. And totally undetectable without the source code. And, of course, these companies that make these machines refuse to give out the source code. Now, if they wanted to re-elect Obama, basically all they'd need to do is just rig it like they've done the last goodness knows how many elections.
Well, you know, this is an odd situation that we run into when, you know, the Obama watchers, and I do nothing but watch this guy and try to figure out who he is, and he is a hard nut to crack. But he does have enemies here in the U.S., and surprisingly, and this is, you know, this is the Israel issue, Obama got 78% of the Jewish vote in the U.S., yet 95% of the Jewish APAC/Israeli money went to the other party. if you can figure that one out, please do. But inside the U.S., we had a couple of things happen that changed how things went. One of them came in a back door and nobody noticed. It was McCain-Feingold. That was a change in the law here that supposedly was going to allow additional freedom for money to come into elections to even the table in congressional elections. What it allowed is it allowed money to come in from special interest groups across the U.S. so that individual members of Congress could be targeted and just eliminated with a massive flood of cash. And McCain-Feingold was entirely organized, written, and enacted by the AIPAC Israeli lobby. And because of that, and this is for years now, they have held a pistol at the head of every member of Congress, saying that no matter, I don't care if you won by 30% last time, we'll drop $20 million into a congressional district that has 11 cows and a pig in it, and we'll get you out of office, or you doing that or worse. Now, here in Ohio, you know, you're talking about vote rigging. We had congressional districts here, or voting districts in Ohio, where the vote for Bush was over 200% of the number of registered voters. Not just did everybody vote for Bush, everybody voted for him twice. One of my neighbors was the head of the Republican Party in Ohio. He's doing 22 years for funding crimes tied to vote rigging. He'll be in prison for a long time. The individual, the computer programmer for the Republican Party, died in a crash of a small airplane. Within a week of asking for FBI protection because he said he was threatened by Karl Rove, President Bush's national security advisor. Now, none of this hit the mainstream news, but you can find it all on Google with an easy search. And why wasn't any of this reported? And all of it, of course, backs up what you've been saying. We don't have elections here, but why even bother rigging an election when every bit of news tied to an election, this is other than what you and I are doing right now, and those who work with us. The rest of it is simply it's like a reality television show. There's nothing real at all to anything. It's all entirely made up. One of the jokes, and I guess it's not so funny anymore. I used to tell writers here, if you don't like the news, just make up your own. Everybody else does. You can't guess any worse. No matter what you write, the wildest conspiracy theory, no matter what you think up, is more likely to be true than what's reported in the news. Now, if you've got a minute, do you want to hear some of the actual intelligence behind the Bin Laden stuff? It's boring, hard stuff, but I can sneak it in there. Maybe nobody will care. Should I bother here?
Who knows? Who knows whether or not it's worth bothering? Hold on a second. For some reason, I think it's the establishment's job to demoralize all of the people that are trying to come up with an actual establishment. I mean, cause, you know, people say that I'm anti-establishment when the reality couldn't be further from the truth. I'm just not retarded enough to think that what we have currently qualifies as an establishment.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
That's where we crossed the line years ago between news and entertainment. We began calling it infotainment and then pop culture. When you're talking about, this is one of the issues that's brought up continually in the U.S. decade after decade, is the Kennedy assassination. We've had two Kennedys. We'll talk about the first one right now. Every year, of American TV series, and be it Bones or NCIS or go back a few years to Quantum Leap, the hero in a TV show will find Lee Harvey Oswald's broken Carcano 6.5-millimeter carbine. And I was a Marine sniper. I know rifles. I know what you can do and what you can't do. But in the TV show, they will simulate the assassination of Kennedy and prove categorically how it could be done. Now, the best marksman in the world, in the real world, not the fictional television world, could never duplicate it. And Lee Harvey Oswald was never the best. Not only was he not the best marksman in the world, he was standing at a vending machine four floors away when the president was shot by three other people with different rifles from different directions. And it was not only conjecture on the part of so many of us that are conspiracy theorists. This is the interesting part of what we've done to our history. The Warren Commission report came to a conclusion that Lee Harvey Oswald was guilty. In 1974, Congress reopened the investigation, and by a vote of Congress, discarded the Warren Commission and came to the conclusion that President Kennedy died as a result of a conspiracy involving more than one person. That's the official finding in the United States. By the Congress, that's the official investigation, not the Warren Report. Congress discarded the Warren Report. It's gone. But is that reported? Will you ever hear that? It's though none of that happened.
Well, I think it's we're creating the alternative to the deception. But to what extent are the government moving right now? To what extent is the New World Order setting up an apparatus to censure the things that we talk about, Gordon?
Well, to that extent, President Obama has come out. You know, we had Cass Sunstein, his anti-conspiracy theory czar, you know, has threatened to pull the plug on the internet or to begin charging all of us, and that includes extraditing you from that that hellhole out in the South Pacific, dragging you in here and putting you into Guantanamo where we can deal with you the way that you deserve. You know, and he's moving very much toward that direction. The problem that this has caused for him is that many of us that are the conspiracy people, in this case, alternative news, the people who just, frankly, we report accurate news. It's our job. I don't care which direction it goes. We're just here to print the truth. And increasingly, this is the thing that probably bothers me most of all, bothers a lot of our readers. People have gotten used to a fix where you can go to a website and whatever website it is has a brand name and they're going to have this brand of conspiracy. We buy into this and this and this story. We don't care what's true, what's real, what's proven, what's not. This is the brand conspiracy we've got. All those people are bad. All those people are good. Veterans Today got way too big to be able to do that. So I have a writing staff that, frankly, I don't edit what they do. I don't control what they do. I just don't accept people that deal with propaganda talking points. But do they agree on anything? Not at all. You know, the debate, honest debate, as President Kennedy said, is the nature of democracy, and that's what we've decided to do. What we have, the mainstream media carries a single monolithic message, and it all seems to be scripted from one place only. There hasn't been a single question about this Bin Laden assassination, and this started out as 40 minutes of a gun battle where a SEAL team, 25-man SEAL team, fought their way upstairs, shooting dozens of Al-Qaeda thugs. And then we find there's a little kid killed. There's a woman that's shot. First we hear Osama bin Laden grabs an AK-47, leaps to his feet, pulls his wife up with one arm, rakes the chest of the heavily armored Navy SEALs, and then takes a bullet through his left eye while his wife is gunned down in the process. And then, of course, we're told he was killed while he was sleeping. And then, of course, a couple of days later, one of my friends who was a former chief of station for the CIA and the individual responsible for working with bin Laden and arming the Mujahideen with Stinger missiles, and if someone wants, I'll mention his name on radio if they really, really have to, but he called me up. And this is a Reagan administration insider. Somebody who worked in government for a long time, certainly worked in the intelligence organization for a long time.
Unfortunately, Gordon, we're coming up to break, so we'll get to this after
the break.
Indeedy duty. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. My remarkably special guest is Gordon Duff from veteranstoday.com, and we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz or .co.nz if you're living in New Zealand. Gordon, we were talking before about the CIA and Obama and Osama, and it seems that incidentally that a lot of people are confusing the two, making somewhat of a Freudian slip.
I have trouble keeping him straight.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure his Zionist cabinet certainly has trouble knowing friend from foe recently as well. The difficulty is that now Obama, according to recent news, is starting up some kind of a new nationwide warning campaign where they'll tap into your cell phone to tell you, like, emergency government propaganda announcements or something. Have you heard of this?
Actually, no. The thing that scares me most, I guess, is that I use Google Voice, and my recorder accidentally comes on when I'm talking to, you know, people in the Middle East, and I go through this paranoid thing where I run to the window and look for the black helicopter. But you know, there's no mechanism for keeping track of that many of us. What they seem to be doing is the government is picking out individuals, and they are publicly persecuting, not prosecuting, but persecuting individuals, demonizing and persecuting individuals. A lot of them are Americans. Osama bin Laden is one of them. And I don't know the guy. And frankly, you know, we have a study group that started at Veterans Today that includes the heads of a couple of intelligence agencies, a lot of high-ranking CIA and Pentagon people. We're trying to figure out exactly who he was back when he was alive, whenever that was, what kind of person he actually was. And so I'm questioning people about, well, when you last time you had dinner with the guy, you know, what was he like? What did he say? I mean, what did he seem like? And the kind of stuff that comes out is that bin Laden was involved in the jewelry business. His business partners for years were all Jewish. And he's supposed to be the, you know, the big hater of Israel, and that's not coming through. We can't figure out yet who he was. What we're leaning more and more toward is that at some time, even as early as the 1990s, there may have been more than one Osama bin Laden, even at that time. Now, Cybele Edmonds, this is one of the people that falls into this list. She was an FBI translator. She's a staffer at Veterans Today. Nice young lady. And she happened to stumble on documents while working for the FBI in the late 1990s that showed Osama bin Laden working for the CIA. As late as 2001, as late as 9/11, there were records showing that the CIA was actively working with and operationally working with Osama bin Laden on 9/11. She has seen the documents. She's capable of testifying. And this isn't conspiracy theory. This is a government employee, highly credible person with a very high-level security clearance who was kept under a government gag order for 6 years, house arrest. This is testimony, not conjecture. On the same hand, another Veterans Today staffer was Susan Lindauer. Susan Lindauer was indicted because Susan Lindauer went public with the fact that she learned that the government knew about 9/11 in 1998. Now, Lindauer worked for the Central Intelligence Agency at the time, and in order to shut her up, they locked her in a psychiatric facility for a year, though her tests came through, and I've read the court documents on it. They're online. Susan Lindauer, they're very public. Read them. Read her psychiatric evaluations. She was locked up for a year. Another one we have is living down in Australia, one of the who headed the Middle East desk of the National Security Council. Should I maybe mention Gwyneth Todd or not? But Gwyneth Todd, since she's on in Australia, is on television often enough. But Ms. Todd is capable of testifying to her personal knowledge of the CIA and other areas in the U.S. government that were involved in staging attacks on Americans, false flag attacks by Americans. And these are three women that work with Veterans Today. All three held high positions within the Bush administration. All three have, at varying times, had to leave the United States, have faced indictment, have been in prison, are still being continually threatened. The list on the other side, We probably have 20 different people at Veterans today that, well, of my own friends. I have friends who've been imprisoned for whistleblowing. One whose name I will not mention was the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, who went to President Bush and reported that the intelligence on our invasion in Iraq was false. And
That guy in England, I forget his name, he was found dead in a field, and they said it was a suicide, at least the coroner did.
Okay, yeah, David Kelly's story is a fascinating one. I have, I work in the defense industry, and one of the companies I work with over a period of years was out of the UAE, financed by the government there, meaning it was drowning in money. And friends of mine in Switzerland run the hedge fund that manages the money for the government of the UAE. And I manage their defense holdings for them, which means I get invited to all the A-list parties. You know, who's that idiot with the cheap suit? You know, that's me, by the way. But this put me in a position in the UAE in the UK to get to know the people that run 5 and 6 and special branch, and develops good social relationships with them. And they're people I like. Although, you know, everybody can have a really nasty history, and some of the people I know have a bad history. And some of my friends, like Mike Rose, who ran the SAS, came out early on and demanded that Tony Blair resign for going along with Bush on the invasion of Iraq. But these people do nothing but fill my mailbox with the inside dope on what goes on in the UK, except that American readers have no interest in any of this. But that name, David Kelly, who is at the heart of so much of what's going on as far as Libya, germ warfare, missing nuclear weapons, or the invasion of Iraq. But there are many, many things that David Kelly was at the center of, and David Kelly was murdered. But in the UK, there has been a very shadowy and very suppressed investigation behind the Chilcot inquiry tied to Tony Blair and others in the government, showing their involvement in the worldwide arms trade with Saudis, former Rhodesians, trading in weapons of mass destruction, massive kickbacks, backhanders as you guys call it. And it's none of it will ever go public, but it shows a level of corruption and complicity in dealing in weapons of mass destruction at the highest levels of the British government. And more than a few people were gotten rid of or destroyed in order to cover this up, and more than a few criminals are enjoying wealth, ease, and luxury, and the criminals that certainly belong on the dock.
Would you say that this is the exception or the rule? And by that I mean people being killed to cover up the actions of criminals, and then the criminals getting even more power and wealth and luxury as a result. Would that be the exception or the rule to modern politics?
We have an awful lot of accidents here in the U.S. As far as, you know, working in the defense sector, in biowarfare, it pretty much guarantees that you're going to work a couple of years and you're going to die in a car accident. Somebody's going to run over your motorcycle. You're going to have a heart attack at 37 while running a marathon. I put a list up a few weeks ago, just a simple list of mysterious deaths tied to key defense sectors, key defense technologies. And the numbers were impressive. And
can you explain? Can you explain, Gordon, what is the counterintelligence modus operandi? I mean, if you hire people and then they serve you well, do they wind up getting rid of these people because they are actually real patriots, and in the end, when they decide to use, you know, bioweapons or whatever on the population, they want to get rid of these people who know what they know to protect themselves? Is that the case?
Well, it's, you know, I've worked in and around the what they call the community, and many of the people that are the writers at VT come from that area. Some are journalists, but a lot are former military or intelligence. And, you know, I have these occasional thoughts. I travel places. I deal in some real-world things. I work in, you know, actively in areas of counterterrorism and counterintelligence. Now, the point you could make very easily is that whatever those things are, it very likely means that I'm involved in some sort of reality theater that people are using to bilk some government somewhere. Mm. You know, and my personal leaning is not that direction. I have this tendency to sit in a meeting and just tell the truth sometimes and be the only person there. And I'm wondering, why the hell doesn't somebody just shoot me?
Yeah, well, that's the irony, you know. Why am I still alive when everybody else seems to be carking it around me by the wonderful mechanisms of MI5 and the CIA? But unfortunately, Gordon, we're coming up to break, so we'll have to talk about this in the second hour. My very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Gordon Duff from Veterans Today, and we'll be right back. Welcome to hour number two. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the lighter side of genocide, because if you lose your sense of humor in a time of such madness and deception, you'll go friggin' nuts. Speaking of friggin' nuts, my very special guest, Gordon Duff, joins us from the USSA. Gordon, welcome.
Well, this is one of the most auspicious introductions I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we promised two breaks ago. Anyway, I should probably drop this out there because I abuse you doing this. But this is the CIA's version of what happened. This is the version that they want leaked as to what happened. Which I got from as senior an official as you can possibly find, anyway. I was told that, yes, Gordon, you are right. Of course, like I needed them to tell me, that Osama bin Laden died in 2001 at Tora Bora of, they didn't say what. There are a variety of beliefs of varying diseases, genetic, kidney. We don't know. That his body was left there, that it was recovered either on the 15th or 16th of December 2001, was returned to Bahrain where it was frozen. Now, I have no solid information as to whether this was this, I call it the Osama sickle, that was thrown into the Indian Ocean as, you know,
which is complete violation of all Muslim tradition anyway. They're supposed to be buried, first off, and not only buried, but buried deep enough so that no animal will ever dig it up and mess with the body.
Nowhere does it say in the Quran that you can store a body for 10 years in a freezer in Bahrain either.
Let alone, I mean, they might as well just dangle the body on the edge of a fish hook and go fishing for gargantuan tiger sharks or something off the bow of the
But you know, they break their teeth. And Greenpeace had come after you for that. Now, this is the rationale I was given, that Leon Panetta, head of the CIA, who's, by the way, nice people. There are worse people to be running the CIA, and then later over to defense now than Leon Panetta. But Panetta decided that they had to get rid of Osama. I almost did it myself. That they had to get rid of Osama for one reason, because General Petraeus, a man with presidential aspirations, and by the way, an avid Veterans Today reader, thank you very much, that Petraeus is going to take over the CIA, and that if this case was left open, if the bin Laden case, the frozen bin Laden case, was left open where he was allowed to stage this farce, it would make him an unbeatable presidential candidate. Now, the CIA is a normal place where people are groomed for the presidency. It's where they hid George Herbert Walker Bush for a while. And, you know, he became one of our... Well, actually, you know, we've had worse presidents than that. His son.
Well, the other thing is that virtually every single CIA chief has arrived there from Wall Street. You know, the CIA is not so much a military or intelligence operation. It's actually kind of a funding operation to a certain extent. You know, black ops budgets, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I heard that the largest CIA base outside of Langley, Virginia, and which is incidentally now being moved, I hear, is in Afghanistan. And they're using, well, I think it was Mike Rupert from The Wilderness, and I'd love to get him on the show.
Oh, you know, Mike and I have been friends for 25 years.
Oh, I'd love it if I could get his number off you during the break. But what he was saying is that the U.S. Fire Service had ordered a whole bunch of these C-130 Hercules sort of planes, you know, to supposedly spray forest fires or whatever, and they were subcontracted out to the CIA, and one of them was found in Mexico airport with $1 billion worth of cocaine on board.
Absolutely.
And so when I have a look at the CIA involvement and U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan, and I see a 4,000% increase and going from 3% of the world's heroin supply to something like 97% of the world's heroin supply coming out of Afghanistan, I think, there's an awful lot of black ops budgets being accumulated here. What are they spending the money on?
Well, let's take a second here to look at some of the Pakistan stuff, because you've opened a door here. One of the things the mainstream news does to cover for this heroin operation is they misuse Pakistan. And you know, I know General Pasha, head of the ISI, I know personally, and kind of a straight shooter sort of guy. And oh, gosh, what can I say and can I say? I wish I could get him on a show with you, and maybe we ought to think about it, but he'd make a very good guest. He's an interesting guy, very outspoken, but I suspect after 20 minutes on the radio with you, he'd be led out of Islamabad at gunpoint. But
that's part of the course on the Vinny Eastwood show.
Well, this is the story we're getting in the mainstream media. The first one was that General Hamid Gul was running the Taliban. Now, what General Hamid Gul runs is he helps run Veterans Today, and he takes care of his grandchildren. He's 75 years old. Now, he's a tough guy, not a big guy, but a tough guy, a smart guy. But as far as running a terrorist organization, no, he kind of stays home during the day, watches the grandchildren, has tea. He does broadcast periodically, and he talks with us, and he's, of course, on Alex Jones a couple times a week. But as far as running the Taliban, pretty much no. But there's even something even darker than this, this idea of Pakistan running the Taliban. Well, the reality is very much this. Pakistan is a polyglot country. It's a country run by a very European minority of Punjabs. The folks who live up in and around Islamabad, the Singhs, the Punjabs, are very European, very Americanized. They are not particularly, you know, they're Muslims, but they're very secular. You know, they have women fighter pilots in their Air Force in Pakistan. Pakistan is not a fanatically Islamic country, but the Taliban in Afghanistan are Pashtuns, and of course the hated minority and the minority that despises the government in Islamabad are the 27 million Pashtuns that live in Pakistan. that wish very much, and the Pakistani government will not like this being said, but they wish they could join with Afghanistan. And the last thing in the world, the Pashtuns in Pakistan or the Taliban or anybody in Afghanistan wants, what they hate most of all, they hate Pakistan. The Taliban hates the Pakistani government. They hate the IFI, the ISI. Frankly, they hate General Hamid Gul. I've talked with leaders of the Taliban, and when I mentioned that Hamid Gul was on our board at Veterans Today, I could hear them banging the phone up and down. They despise and mistrust Pakistan. They keep all the Taliban talks about is how much they hate Pakistan and how they're not going to allow Pakistan to come back in the way it did with the U.S. in the 1980s and try to take over their country. They are very proud of having thrown Pakistan out and hating Pakistan. What they've done, of course, in the process is they have gotten into bed with the Indian Secret Service called the RAW and their partner, the Mossad. And the Taliban, and there are a couple versions of it, but the Pakistani version is responsible for endless, massive acts of terror inside Pakistan. You can't go in some cities in Pakistan without a car bomb or having something blown up around you. Pakistan is the most terror-ridden country on earth. The people there have suffered tremendously. And why? Because they got stuck in this idiocy with the Americans. What Pakistan's weakness is their non-military government is in the drug business. They were bought, and I'm not supposed to say that, but they are. They're useless, and the media in Pakistan, for the most part, it's not even a radical media. The media in Pakistan is as controlled and stupid as the American media. The stories that come out of there, if anything, are even dumber than the American papers. It's like they had this born-again neocon thing going on in Pakistan. Anyway, I needed to get that out. But everything the American papers, plus all of these little defense groups, neocon-based, Zionist-based defense groups, are continually pushing this blither about the Pakistanis running the Taliban. My God, the Taliban would kill everybody in Pakistan given the chance. They are blood enemies. There's a line the British drew there. I think it was like 1903, the Durand line. And this was a line that split the Pashtuns, half in Pakistan and half in Afghanistan. And the goal of Afghanistan is to defeat Pakistan in a war, open that line up, and seize all of southern Pakistan. That is the military goal of the Taliban, the military goal of the Pashtuns in Afghanistan. And every single word reported in your press, our press, all of it, is not only a lie, it is fanciful and even bizarre. Shows no knowledge of the region whatsoever, no knowledge of the history, no knowledge of Pashtun culture, no knowledge of what we call Pashtunwali, none whatsoever. Anyway, that's my rant for the last few minutes here. Should I apologize for that, Vinny?
Yes, go ahead. Now, we had a thought came to mind here is that Osama being found in Pakistan, and you know, I'm just saying this for the sake of argument, I don't actually believe that because I'm not retarded, but the possibility comes to mind that the United States is going to use this false event to demonize Pakistan in order to justify a war with them. Do you think that's a slight possibility?
Well, it's justifying a lot of talk, and then the Pakistanis over the last 36 hours, you know, if you try to seize our nuclear weapons, we're going to declare a war. Pakistan is dead broke and lives on American money. Now, the Pakistani army is a professional military. For its size, it is better than the Indian army, but it is also one-fourth as large. Pakistan is the single greatest military power, certainly Islamic power. Pakistan could make short work of Iran or Iraq or even Israel. I mean, could just wipe them out very quickly. if they had 50 cents to their name, which they don't. It's one thing having tanks and planes and highly trained soldiers. It's another thing not having any money at all. Pakistan is in utter and absolute financial collapse. They're living on American welfare only. If you wanted to kill Pakistan, if we withheld our foreign aid, they'd be gone in a year. The only thing keeping them afloat is American foreign aid. The threat, we don't have to blow up Pakistan if we just stop giving them money. They'll die. Pakistan's currency is in, it's essentially, I've never seen a country, and you know, I like the people there, mind you, wonderful people. Financially, they are the most incompetent nation on earth. Technologically,
I would say that the United States is, but continue.
Well, see, we have the ability. We've had the ability to hoodwink the world. Now, what we've done in the process, we've borrowed, and this is, you know, and if you're aware of the amounts here, we're down. Not just our $14.8 trillion or whatever. We have $27 trillion worth of cash, T-bills, and other negotiable federal instruments floating around the world. We have $27 trillion worth of debt. That American debt represents over 60% of the capitalization for the entire world. The only reason the U.S. isn't going to be closed down is because it would collapse almost every currency in the world. China would be gone financially in 2 weeks if the dollar collapsed.
Don't you think, Gordon, that sort of financial crisis has been set up deliberately so that the international bankers can bring in their new Bancor currency so that they can basically control all the currencies of the world by themselves with their new Bank of the World?
You know, I have looked at this, and some of the rationale is this last $15 billion that Greece came out and asked for, and I know not many people watch the EU and their little games there, but one of my friends is the individual who drafted the request from Greece for the $15 billion that they need to float their currency, and he won't mind if I say this. But the financial documents that Greece submitted to the EU asking for $15 billion in emergency currency support are based on entire falsehoods, that Greece doesn't have any of that debt, that they made it all up. And they said, if the Germans are stupid enough to give us money in the first place, why don't we try again? That's exactly what they said. This is all entirely a farce. Fiat currencies, this is in one of the issues, fiat currencies are absolutely hopeless. They'll do what we know they cause, and this is, you know, this is how we can all become these radical New World Order conspiracy freaks. They lead one direction, to debt. And what is debt? Debt leads to slavery. How do they maintain slavery? It's very simple. You can be a slave, and if you have news telling you, like in 1984, or you know that Orwellian era, that you've got some vicious foreign enemy, Osama bin Laden is after you and your children. As long as you're being told all of this, you'll live in slavery. You'll look out your window. If you're a conspiracy guy like me, you'll be sitting there looking out for black helicopters, or you'll be looking for terrorists every time you go to an airport, looking at the two Arabs sitting down there saying, I wonder if they've got atom bombs in their underwear.
I don't know. The people I'd look for as terrorists would be the ones with FBI badges and stuff like that.
Oh, gosh, I've got
that. After all, they seem to stage more terror than any real terrorist anyway.
I've got two senior retired FBI guys that I work with every day. And we're a long time. One of them came on in the Hoover era. Another one came on in like 72. And, you know, we're good friends. And I have these discussions with them, you know, like, where the hell were you when all this was going? Weren't you there? Weren't you? One of them was running counterterrorism on 9/11, you know. And I'd like to get him to come on if I could get, you know, do that. But
and
he
we'll
absolutely
about,
knows. Be absolutely
we'll
sure. Yeah, of course. 9/11 was a false flag operation, and he was
and
the
we'll
FBI
get into this
guy that.
More just after the break, my very special guest is Gordon Duff on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back.
Look at me, look watching me driving and I won't stop.
Welcome
and it feels
back.
So good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower.
Hello, everyone. Enjoying your New World Order ice cream with the cherry on top? Cherry bomb, so to speak. My very special guest, Gordon Duff, joins us live from the USSA. And we had a question here in the Vinnie Eastwood Show chat room. What do you have to say about the checkpoint out of Egypt being opened up again? Have you heard about this? Because I'm not 100% sure of it whatsoever.
This is probably a good place for us to head right now, and I want to thank whoever sent that in as getting onto a vital point here. Our bureau chief in Gaza is Ken O'Keefe, one of my good friends, and as it's always best to surround yourself by when your back's against the wall. And Ken's been over there since he went in with the Mavi Marmara and was captured and taken to Israel and tortured and beaten and released, and he has spent that time in Gaza. And Ken is busy organizing trade groups that are going to be exploiting this new open border. Now, this is what we've been doing in Egypt now. We have a pretty good-sized crew in Egypt, and Veterans Day is very active there. This is the legal issue that's tied to this. Now, let's see if I can explain this properly, and not something I'm always that good at. The Treaty of the Congress of Paris in 1853 is the current basis for international blockade law. It is the law that is used and respected now, if any law is used and respected. In order to maintain a blockade of Gaza, such as is being maintained by Israel and formerly Mubarak's Egypt, it requires that all sides be blockaded. If one side is open, that border is open. Now, this is the border checkpoint is open. There is still a large wall in place. And as with President Reagan to Gorbachev, whoever's in charge in Egypt, we don't even know who that is right now. Tear that wall down. We want the wall down entirely. There's no reason that people need to live behind mines, machine gun towers, and barbed wire. You're describing a ghetto. You're describing a concentration camp to me. But the legal issue is this. And hold with me, and I'll see if I can get this explained in a rational sort of way. The moment that border is opened officially to wide trade, Israel's blockade of the sea is reclassified from a blockade to international piracy, because the only thing that made that blockade legitimate is that the Egyptians were holding the back door. The term they use, the legal term, is it becomes the blockade of the Mediterranean becomes a paper blockade. It's the equivalent of this. Let's say, Vinny, you're hiding in your house here, and I'm blockading your house. Now, when I've got guys with machine guns all around your house, I'm blockading your house. And it's an effective legal blockade. You can take me to international court and get rid of me there, but it's a blockade. If I put an 8-year-old with a sign on your front porch saying the house is blockaded, and you come out your back door because you don't want to see the little sucker, and I shoot you in the back while you're heading down to the local McDonald's, I'm a murderer, not enforcing a blockade. This is the position it puts Israel in legally. There we go. Egypt opening the border delegitimizes Israel's blockade based on international law, which, we don't necessarily look on Israel as being a great defender of international law. But
considering they have the biggest amount of violations in the UN out of any country ever.
Well, this puts the U.S. in there's a September 15th vote coming up in the United Nations. And to request sanctions against Israel for its violations of the U.N. Accords.
But hold on a second. Isn't Israel a member of the Security Council, so they can just veto that anyway?
No, they sort of are. The U.S. is a member of the Security Council, and Israel, I believe, I don't know, is that the same thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, is it any different? I mean, look at the people in Obama's cabinet. A lot of them are dual citizens. What's his name? Rahm Emanuel, for example. He's talking now about how anybody who's on the no-fly list, which you get on there without any warrant, any judicial oversight, or anything that was put forth in the Constitution, of course.
and now
he's saying that in America you cannot buy a handgun if you're on this completely unconstitutional list, which you cannot debate or get off under any circumstances, basically. And they can't prove that you're a terrorist because, hey, as far as I'm aware, there's no such thing. You know, all the terrorists are simply government agents who are basically just, you know, playing games with everyone to coerce the public's conformity into doing what they want. And this checkpoint here in Palestine and Israel and Egypt, I mean, it just makes me think about what's coming to America with these new ID cards. They got checkpoints in every corner, men with guns, security cameras, the whole nine yards. They're restricting travel now. They're talking about restricting travel now. And it's basically like you say, it's a blockade of the American populace. And in my opinion, this is not going to be isolated to America at all. This is going to come into everybody's nation. You will have ID cards, you will be tracked and traced wherever you go, and you will have to show your papers, please.
Well, Vinny, one of the scary things, though, about the, you know, the U.S. is an easy target to go after. But one of the people I had staying at my house here with me over the winter was Professor Frederick Tobin. I don't know if you know Professor Tobin.
I've heard the name. Why have I heard that name, Gordon?
He's born in Germany, Australian citizen, who was imprisoned in Austria for questioning the Holocaust. Now, Tobin heads the Adelaide Institute in Australia, and he and a number of other people have beliefs that the Holocaust, as reported, didn't happen. There's certainly Tobin, and then there are the groups called historical revisionists. Now,
Hold on a second. This reminds me. Have you ever heard of a Tobin tax? Does that have anything to do with this guy?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Random. Go ahead.
What he is mostly is a nice, smallish person, always neatly dressed, who talks a lot about Hegel, Kierkegaard, and Nietzsche. And a good house guest. You know, we drank a lot of scotch and drank some Riesling and played computer games, watched TV, and argued about World War II for a few days here.
You must dial the area code and the telephone number.
Oh, there's something coming through on your phone there, but that's okay. Keep going, Gordon.
I'm going to blame you. It's got to be you.
Okay. But, blame me away. Everybody else does.
Yeah, you did it. But in Australia, now in the U.S., heaven forbid, the police state though we are, you can stand out in the middle of the street with a sign saying, "The Holocaust never happened." Now, eventually, somebody's going to come and throw a rock at you, but the police aren't going to take you away. But in New Zealand and Australia, you'll do 10 or 12 years in prison for doing this. And it'll happen in Germany. It'll happen in Canada. Now, in Britain, maybe, but in a dozen countries. And this is the issue I have is, you know, rather than going after Israel or blaming the Palestinians or whatever, I have this belief that if we don't know the truth, we can't make decent decisions. And where things began to go to hell was World War II, because we turned the truth over to Stalin. He decided what was real and what wasn't real. Certainly the McCarthyites and the crazies, and of course the Rockefeller family, and other groups. But the history that we ended up with after World War II and everything we've called history after that is basically false. And one of the things that our Iranian friend loves coming after us about is that the truth that we that we teach, the certified version of who was who during World War II, and this is the nasty thing that makes so many people unhappy, is when you look at the history of World War II and you try to decide, as we are right now, who was Osama bin Laden? Did he really do it? Because he's the most hated man on earth. When you go back and take the same look at Adolf Hitler and you talk about Hitler, somebody's going to definitely do more than throw a rock at you. The problem, of course, is, and it's not an of course, but the problem is when you take a look at what Adolf Hitler really said and really did and compare it to what people say he did and said, there's a problem there. Now, the reason I would look at it is because I simply just want to know the truth. I don't need to know that the Holocaust didn't happen or that Jews are good or Jews are bad or this many died. I just don't care. I just want to know what happened. I want to know the truth. I think we deserve, not just then, I want to know all of it so that nobody can come up to me with this fairy story about 9/11, so no one can come up to me with this fairy story about Osama bin Laden. Because once they start lying to you, and once they buffalo you, they never stop.
The area code and the telephone number. Thank you.
I think we're talking about a future where the facts no longer matter, and it's only what's repeated endlessly that people actually pay any attention to, or it seems like more to the point. Actually, that's what mainstream media wants everybody to think, and basically they're failing in such a huge way in this day and age, especially with the explosion of the internet, that I think that they're scurrying extremely hard, like a bunch of frightened cockroaches, to slap in controls and police state measures so that even if the truth gets out, people will be under a police state and will be unable to fight back. And it's not entirely dissimilar from World Bank and IMF protocol. Whenever they pay off dictators in third world countries to not pay back their loans and then take all their resources as collateral, it's actually in there 111 points that they need to institute a police state before the population gets angry enough to depose their dictators and take their country back. And something tells me that now it is the Western world's time. It is now the US, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, and England's time to have all our assets and resources stolen off us by international banks and have our own country be the ones that suppress us and stop us from being available to resist.
Vinny,
what do you think about that?
You're absolutely correct. Welcome to that world. And one of the areas that's to be picked clean is the Caspian Basin. The figures go between $10 and $20 trillion worth of hydrocarbons, and of course, you know, $80 billion worth of heroin a year, but that's another story. But those hydrocarbons exist in the Caspian Basin, and controlling those hydrocarbons requires destabilizing all of the nations there, flooding the populations with drugs. Afghanistan has more heroin addicts per capita than any nation on earth. And Russia, of course, is being destabilized like this also. But sitting in the Caspian Basin.
Call. You must dial the area.
You have a couple of different plots going on. One are the gas and oil pipelines that head both directions. They head toward the massive China market, and they head toward Western Europe. And you have the pipeline that heads out through from Kirkuk, from Azerbaijan.
Through Afghanistan and Pakistan, which are incidentally...
The peace pipeline that heads across Pakistan.
The peace pipeline.
Yeah, I know.
That's a piece of crap. Honestly, like Ahmed Karzai, former advisor for UNICAL, gets appointed as the Afghanistan dictator after the U.S. invades and deposes the Taliban, who had all but wiped out the heroin trade. And all of a sudden, hey, we now have this mad pipeline deal, and also we have a huge heroin production going on in this country. Thanks, USA. You're the Shiite Muslim.
And here it is, 10 years later, 2 years into the Obama regime, we're still in Afghanistan, and you can go to any American on the street and ask them, why are we in Afghanistan? Now, a couple of years ago, They might have said terrorism. A year ago, they might have said, because we're fighting the Taliban. Right now, I don't think anybody in the United States knows that we're still there. We sneak the bodies home in the middle of the night. The billions of dollars we waste there disappear. But there is no reason whatsoever we couldn't entirely pack up and leave, and the world would be better for it. The United States would be better for it. Afghanistan has some very serious problems. I wish something that could be done to solve those, and a lot of people thought that the U.S. might be able to help do that. You know, I've worked with many of the parties there. I've met with them there. And years ago, they said this. Today, we gave up. Just Americans, just make them leave. Everyone wants us gone. Even Karzai wants us gone. We're interfering with whatever it is that he's doing. If anything, as our puppet, he can't stand us. No one can stand us anymore. And, of course, you know what? We represent really a very large veterans organization. Not just that, the military contractors, and we have a huge number in Afghanistan. We represent them, too. They're all veterans. The thing
I find, Gordon, is that the U.S. is being used by the New World Order and are taking a lot of the blame for the globalist plans of world domination. You know, they're basically the big stick that is wielded by the tyrant, and I don't think that the U.S. population deserves the discrimination they get as a result. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And we're back. Final segment of the Vinnie Eastwood Show today. My remarkably special guest, Gordon Duff, joins us from the former USSA. And we want to talk about how the USA is being now demonized worldwide. And I'm sure, Gordon, you'll concur with me here that because of what the administration is basically, Let's call a spade there, frauded the American people so that they can get in there to do, is to use every resource that America has ever, you know, managed to get their hands on over generations of its existence to basically bully the world into one sort of management so that they can get everybody to hate them, right? So that everybody will be jumping for joy and happy when the American dollar collapses and when the American people become so freaking destitute that they'll start suffering from disease and an end-of-the-world type scenario. And believe me when I tell you, I'm living in New Zealand, and we have a shockingly large amount of people in this country who just want the U.S. to fall.
You must dial the area.
You know?
It's just the same thing if I head over the border to Canada, which is, for me, 35 miles away. But, of course, I don't go to Canada because once I go there, I have to come back to the U.S., and have my car taken apart at the border by the U.S. Customs people who have, I believe, some of them have lost their minds, but that's neither here nor there. Oh, yeah, the U.S. is being set up for a fall. Now, we had this period of love affair with the world when the World Trade Center was somehow destroyed, and Susan Lindauer, in her article in Veterans Today, indicates that when she was with the CIA as early as 1999, it was mentioned that Al-Qaeda may be planning to use a small nuclear weapon on the World Trade Center, which, you know, that leads to the Dmitry Kolesov issue, which is want to open the door to that to maybe some other show we might want to do. But, yeah, the only way for the U.S. to earn its reputation back is by blowing up one of its own cities, and we've got a lot of cities here that most Americans would like to see gone. Some of them are just unpleasant-looking, dirty, unkept. They don't handle it. People have bad lawns. You know, they should be blown up. Yeah, well, there's always L.A. There are very few people that speak English in L.A., and nobody would know if some of these places were gone anyway. America's just too big. But the idea that our government is above destroying one of our own cities. Now, I'm almost thankful this Bin Laden episode here, that though it's theater, it's reality television, and it's the most, I think, purposefully inept attempt to pass off, a story to the American people. At least they didn't kill. They didn't kill thousands of Americans in the process, like Bush did. So if Obama, are we going to give him one of these? You know, he got to do his birth certificate game, and then he got to a short time later run this dinner theater routine over the mysterious frozen Osama bin Laden. Should we maybe just let him get by on this one and just be, and this is what we're down to. I don't mind being lied to anymore as long as you just don't kill thousands of people or invade some new country somewhere. The problem, however, is that, your initial premise that this theater, and it's a term I keep coming back to, over bin Laden has a darker purpose. More destabilization of Pakistan, and this is the key issue with the U.S. From a defense standpoint. It is impossible to move against Iran except through Pakistan. The area of Pakistan called Baluchistan is the only way, and if you check the terrain maps on this, it's the only way the U.S. can use armored forces to invade Iran. Now, the fact that we don't have a large enough army, that we can't logistically support this, but I don't think it bothers the state of Israel the least bit that invading Iran would finish off the U.S. Iran would close the Straits of Hormuz in 15 minutes. Oil would go to $300 a barrel. The dollar would collapse the next day. All world currencies would go into free flow, and there would be a massive revolution across the world. And is that being planned? You know, it's far more than just destabilizing the U.S. This stuff playing with Iran, this stuff they're playing with Pakistan, reaches far further than that.
Well, they need to destabilize the entire world in order to bring about a world government, a order ab chaos, order out of chaos. That's
they have built the machine to do it, Vinny.
They need basically massive crisis in every single part of the world to be occurring simultaneously in order to provide any kind of global locked-in solution, because if the entire world's population is totally afraid, it means the entire world's population can be easily manipulated to accept whatever police state draconian banker ruled measures that they propose.
And which, of course, to a large extent we have had all along. And it's not that the entire world hasn't already been stripped dry. It's just that the gangsters that are running things still believe there's more blood to be squeezed out of the rest of us. And of course, in the U.S., most Americans during the last couple of decades put their assets, their net worth, into real estate. After the collapse of the real estate markets in the U.S., the middle class, and that's the people making $80,000 to $300,000 a year, the majority of them are in debt. They have no assets. They may have income, but they have no assets. If they paid off their bills, they would still owe money. They own nothing, don't own their cars, barely own the furniture in their homes, do not own their homes, because you may have a home that's worth $1 million, or you thought it was worth $1 million, and you owe $800,000 on it, but in the market it sells for $450,000 or $500,000. It would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars for Americans who are very successful just to walk away from their property so they could sleep in their cars under a bridge somewhere. And more of them are doing that. I look where I live. I've got a home across the street here. It's got four garages. It's a Tudor. It's a really nice place. And it was somewhere when I bought where I live, I couldn't afford. It is now priced half of what I paid for my house. I'd hate to think what this was worth if I had to sell it where I am now. I couldn't. I'm in a position where it isn't important for me to do that. That's the benefit of being old.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with the elite, is that they kind of do want to own and control absolutely everything, and they stage financial crisis like the collapse of this massive housing bubble so that they can buy up all the remaining assets for pennies on the dollar.
You know, we have this thing about taxes in the U.S., people worried about paying taxes. Gasoline prices in the United States doubled over the last 18 months. Over the last 3 months, gasoline went up $1 a gallon. That dollar a gallon has nothing to do with the money that OPEC gets, nothing to do with OPEC price fixing. It is entirely profit for oil companies and oil speculators, and represents the largest tax increase on Americans in their history. More money is leaving the United States based on this current dollar a gallon price fixing scam tax on gasoline and oil products. Which, by the way, has raised their, when you go up a dollar a gallon for gas, it's down now where on Saturday I drive up to Detroit to visit friends. The highways that were fairly full now have half the traffic. People are deciding whether they buy gasoline or whether they buy food. And when they buy food, because the fuel prices have gone up, food prices are up now 20% to 30% in the U.S. Prices in the U.S., and yet, according to our economy, we have no inflation whatsoever, so our inflation indicators are held flat. Social Security payments don't increase. Veterans' pensions stay flat because our real estate market is in free fall, and they have based our inflation cycle on the, it's predicated on the belief that every American buys a new home that's depreciating in value every week. In actuality, America has a massive inflation. Our inflation rate here is running around 15%, and we're covering this over. Not only is our currency worthless, our economy here, at a time when our stock market is moving back towards 13,000 again, our new redefined stock market with the Dow Jones average that has half of the bankrupt companies removed from it, we have no jobs, we have no economy, we're totally broke. And we're getting another one, and just as you described it, we have another pump and dump coming around again. They're going to pull the cash out, collapse the economy again, and I'm not sure we have the staying power to handle another one of those.
Well, absolutely. I mean, during the first depression, 90% of people lived in rural areas and grew their own food, and 10% of people lived in cities and didn't. During that depression, I think it was something along the lines of between 10 and 14 million Americans starved to death. Today, we have 90% of people living in cities and not growing their own food. So a depression of any magnitude really whatsoever is going to cause a lot of death and a lot of problems of many kinds. I'd like to thank you very much, Gordon, for coming on the show today. If you'd like to check out his articles, ladies and gentlemen, you can visit him at veteranstoday.com. And, it's been one heck of a rip-roaring ride there, Gordon, and I'd like to thank you very much indeed for coming on.
Well, it's been a fun 2 hours and a short
in
plug
order to
here.
This call, you
Veterans
must
Today is moving to a magazine format, and we'll be looking for representation out in your neck of the woods in New Zealand and in Australia. And watch for us next week as we move into a new range of broader mainstream entertainment.
That's right. Okay, thank you. Support alternative media, ladies and gentlemen, because we're the only ones who will tell you what's going on before it's too late. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. Thank you so extraordinarily large amounts for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow.